Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble, live from New York. Although, we're not live. This is pre-recorded. But I am in New York.
Yes, with the great opportunity of finally having both Screen Verdict podcasters in the same country to record a podcast. We waited until Matt left the same city as me in order to do so. So we have...
That we ran out of time to do a podcast.
We did so much. There was literally no more time for anything else. And now, due to the shortcomings of Skype, we have Matt here by old-fashioned telephone.
Yes, and by old-fashioned telephone, we mean an iPhone S, 5S.
Yeah, exactly. The 6 is out. Yeah. What are we doing? I want to know more details on how you put the finger in.
Okay. You know those old phones where you have to put the finger in the circle thing and, like, turn around to dial the number?
Oh.
I was trying to make the joke. Might as well have, like, one of them with an iPhone Air 5S, but, clearly, it just sounded a bit bad.
I think we could learn a lot from putting our finger in and turning around one of those old phones. Moving on, this week we're going to be reviewing the film.
It's not going to take long for the wheels to fall off the wagon of this podcast.
Birdman. We're going to be talking about Birdman.
Bird noise.
He may or may not do that a lot in the film. So, I had heard a bit about Birdman. I had seen a trailer a while ago, and I thought, ooh, this kind of looks maybe a bit Kaufman-esque. It looked a bit existential. It looked a little surreal. I thought, ooh, this is going to be the kind of film that I love and Matt hates. Matt, what were your expectations?
I've sort of seen a trailer but forgotten a lot of what was in it. I remember something like with the guy, like a superhero. He, like, sort of becomes famous. That's sort of all I remembered from the trailer. I'm not a huge fan of anyone involved in this project, other than, like, Emma Stone and Zach Galifianakis, who are both fairly supporting characters, at least that was my impression. So, the excitement wasn't too high, but I sort of heard good things. So, I was intrigued. I was curious.
I saw the trailer and did not even remember Zach Galifianakis being in it. You were like, oh, yeah, we'll see Birdman's got Zach Galifianakis. I said, I do not remember him being in the film. You said, I bet you he is top 4 billing in the film. I said, you're an idiot. Well, we watched the film, and throughout the film, I was thinking, ooh, this is, you know, Zach Galifianakis. Oh, he's probably anywhere, in my mind, between 3rd and 5th billing.
Yeah, I know. I was watching the film too, going, oh, this is going to be a hard one to decide. It was right on. How are we going to argue this out? So, we're going to talk about the characters a bit later, but you've definitely got Michael Keaton in it more. I think that's fair to say. Edward Norton, I'd say, is probably your second fiddle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to trade Naomi Watts and Zach Galifianakis.
They're both in a very similar amount of time, aren't they?
If anyone wants to watch the film and with a stopwatch record the amount of screen time that each of them gets, that would be a very, very useful help to us in determining the winner of this unofficial challenge. Just me not wanting to look silly for saying Matt was insane for predicting that Zach Galifianakis would be top 4 billing.
Yeah, here's a screen challenge. Go with a friend to the movies. Both bring a what's one of the cheap things at the Screen Burning store?
Clock.
The clock. Yeah, you get a Screen Burning clock. And that's perfect because they time stuff. Okay, very good. Very good. There you go. Competition underway.
I like it.
Birdman, because we could have literally done this ourselves if we had the forethought. We could have, and we went with your girlfriend Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of her friends, Bella.
Indeed.
So we all could have had stopwatches out timing Edward Norton, Emma Stone, Zach Galifianakis, and Naomi Watts. Because at that point, we didn't know just who would be doing what. I think probably saved money. I don't think we would have needed to bother timing it. But that was a fun night out in LA watching Birdman.
Yeah, well, Matt came to me with the opportunity to go to a Q&A with Michael Keaton and Edward Norton on Birdman. And I thought, that sounds fun. That sounds like a very cool LA-type thing to do, something we'll both enjoy, something good to do on your trip. I don't like spoilers. I feel like if we're going to go to the film Q&A, we should probably actually see the film.
That was a good idea. I've forgotten that I hadn't dropped them in. I sort of, when I heard it wasn't a screening, I was like, oh, well, that's fine. I can see the film later. That's cool. Like, you don't get a chance to see Edward Norton and Michael Keaton every day. Then when Jonathan Tom is like, oh, that's a really good point. We shouldn't see it the night before. I think we were out seeing a comedy show the night before. Yes.
Seeing the Groundlings.
They were great. Fantastic. Tip of the hat to them. Also, tip of the hat to the UCB. So one of those shows.
Boo.
I don't want to get in the middle of a LA improv comedy rivalry.
Yeah, and the Bloods and Crips have been replaced by the Groundlings and UCB kids.
Birdman, we were talking about seeing it tomorrow, just all the stars aligned for a epic Birdman outing. It obviously kicked off with some tacos beforehand. Went out for some pink tacos. Different meaning here. But at the same time, at this place, a pink taco is a taco.
Did you enjoy the tacos, Matt?
I love the pink tacos. They were very good.
I shouldn't have taken a sip of water just after I asked that question.
Oh, my. So, yeah, that was cool. It did mean, though, because of pesky LA traffic, infamous LA traffic.
Notorious. Yeah, we are a transparent podcast. We are very open with our listeners. So full disclosure, we did miss probably at least the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yes, we did. So we were hoping when we went to the Q&A screening, they played a couple of clips that they just played the opening scene.
I was so excited when they said they're going to play some clips. I'm like, oh, surely they're not going to play something from the end. You know, you don't want to spoil the film. I really hope they play something from the first 5 minutes. But no.
Did you hear someone say when the lady asked the first question in that, like, Q&A? Like, someone said that spoilers?
That was very nearly us. Madam Curator, honestly, some of us haven't seen the film. Could you please tone down these spoilery questions of yours?
Yeah. Michael, I'm going to stop you right there. We haven't seen it yet. The lady that sat next to you hadn't seen it either, had she?
No. But she had seen everything else between now and the beginning of time.
Yeah, you had a good chat with her, didn't you?
Even as we were walking out, she was like, oh, I'm going to go home and rewatch Primal Fear tonight. I'm like, sounds like a good night, lady. Good luck to you.
Just to put Bonnie at ease, it was a quite older Jono wasn't chatting up some young chick at the...
Yeah, and
at it, the Birdman Q&A.
Yeah, it wasn't an invite either.
Yeah. So, is Bonnie around the house at the moment?
No. Actors workshop. Probably hanging out with Michael Keaton and Edward Norton in person.
Yeah, well, they had opinions on acting, didn't they? Was there a highlight from the Q&A, Jonathan? Something that you learnt from Michael or Edward?
Don't know if there's a highlight, but I guess overall thoughts were Michael Keaton, very funny, very charming, like him. Two thumbs up for Michael Keaton. Ed Norton, I think, was very intelligent, very interesting, but boy, did he struggle with public speaking. He could not get a word out. His neck was red by the end of it from rubbing it over. I don't know if that's some kind of weird, nervous tick. A lot of makeup we needed to cover that up on set, but
you know, he had a rash or something. a mosquito bite. He was scratching the light.
He was just when he's trying to explain his thoughts on acting. He was just so intense and really wanted to articulate himself. Perfectly. It was just, oh my goodness, like, I love you, but just get to the end already.
Yeah. I learned from Edward Norton that he doesn't like directors that say a lot. He said that some directors, and this director I really loved, and I just had to tell him, look, let me do this a few times, then you can say your thing.
I know you're the director, but this is how you should be directing. Give me one adjective or one verb, and then let me do the scene.
Yes, one adjective. No, this is a rule, wasn't it? You give me one adjective, and then I've got it covered. Just trust me. Like, I know what I'm doing. I've acted in movies before. And I remember he said, like, sometimes I direct and have good stuff to say, but sort of more stuff you want to hear over dinner while you're making a film.
I'd love to have this conversation with you, but over dinner instead of on set. Wow.
Yeah. we were telling Tom this. He wrote Goddamn and he's like, oh, I would hate to work with him. I think that'd be fun working with someone who's nasty like that. I reckon you could have a good, like, back and forth.
I feel like if you were to pair our glib attitude to Ed Norton's seriousness about himself, it would be a good combination. But two Ed Nortons going head-to-head could be trouble.
Oh, yeah, for sure. that was a fun Q&A. I think that was one of the best things in LA. That was really cool, especially cool for it with you. I think we got a photo in front of the Birdman sign at it. I Instagrammed it out. We'll try to get it on the Facebook page.
Cool. So Birdman, the film itself, we reviewed the Q&A. Time to talk about Birdman, the film. It is about a man who was a superhero, not in real life, but he played a superhero in the highly successful series Birdman. It was a Birdman and a Birdman 2, and it just smashed records at the box office. It was a huge hit. But, I believe it's, you know, 20 or so years down the road. What's his name? Regan Thompson. It's a good name. I like that name.
Yeah.
Regan turned down Birdman 3. And now he's sort of struggling to stay relevant. And how he's trying to do that is by writing, directing, and starring in, very ambitiously, an adaptation on a Raymond Carver novel, I believe. On Broadway.
Like, you know, like, I feel like, you know, if I was to believe in a successful franchise, there should have been at least six.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just saw the other day that there was, apparently, they penned the contract for another 3 Fast and Furious films. You know.
My friend Chris has just come in from the gym in our hotel. Say g'day, Chris. Hello. There we go. Can you hear that, Jonathan?
Chris, you're famous. You're on the Screen Verdict podcast.
He's been on a few times before, Jonathan, hasn't he? Because he's,
he's always just popping in. He's calling you on the phone.
Yeah, he's calling me on the
walking
phone.
Walking in onto your hotel room. I think he's just a fan of the podcast.
Yeah, Chris loves me. You can't avoid it if you saw him. When's the last time you've listened to one, Chris? Not so long ago. That's great. That's one.
I think Matt meant when was the last time you listened to our podcast, not podcasts in general.
He's listened to a podcast not so long ago. Yeah. Not our one. You listened to one of ours once, don't you, Chris? Yeah. Yeah, a few times. He's casual. He's more of a fan of calling in when we're doing it. Yeah. So, yeah, sorry, continue, John. There's made 3 more Fast and Furious movies, but there's no more Birdman.
No more Birdman. Well, you know, maybe this was explained in the first 5 minutes of the film. Maybe they replaced Michael Keaton or, you know, or Regan Thompson. I don't know. Maybe he was just that good. Regan Thompson was irreplaceable in the role of Birdman. So he's now doing this.
I feel like a studio still wouldn't try with another actor.
Oh.
They'd be giving Shia LaBeouf a call. Coming in for Birdman 3. Birdman and Robin.
Well, they seem to like whiskey about the same amount, so he could be a good replacement.
Yeah, anyway, continue. So, he's not doing the Birdman, he's doing the pretentious play.
Yes, which is interesting, because as some of you may know, Michael Keaton played Batman not too long ago, and by that I mean probably around 30, 20 years ago. In Batman and Batman Returns, I believe.
Yes, he did. He was great in it. I really like this Batman movie.
Refused to do a third Batman, and now 20 or 30 years down the road, he's doing something arguably similar to that play, a little bit artsy and pretentious by being the lead in this film by Alejandro such and such, which is a little bit, you know, what's the word? I'll let you do it, Matt, because as much as Michael Keaton tried to avoid using it, he couldn't. I know it's one of your favorites.
Oh, this is funny. Yeah. Meta. It's very meta, isn't it? I was at a Hollywood party while I was in LA, and a sort of producer of a pretty HBO show, an Emmy winner, and he was telling me that the show they're doing is very meta, and that's really in right now.
It only just sort of came about in 2014. It's so hot right now.
Yeah, it's in the meta. Yeah, we live in a post-community world.
Michael Keaton got asked about the meta in the film, and he said, well, it's a lot more than that. There's a lot going on. You see, there's this at play, and what we're trying to... Well, you're right, it is meta. I said to myself that I'd use the word meta in any of these interviews, but you're right, let's just say it's meta.
Yeah. I thought that was probably the best moment in the Q&A. So it is incredibly meta. You know, like even Batman and Birdman, like only like a couple of letters difference.
I often think that things that are, and I'm going to use air quotes here to show my disdain for it, meta, are just quick and easy, and they sound clever. You're like, oh, yes, see, there's these two dimensions to it, because we're actually referring to ourselves, and we're breaking the fourth wall. But whereas really it's very simple, and everyone does it, and, you know, unless there's something that makes the joke funny in and of itself, just being meta is not clever or funny to me. And also the self-awareness can sometimes take you out of the film. Whereas I thought that this film had just acknowledged and sort of dealt with something that was real and applied to themselves, but without, you know, giving you that cheesy wink and a nod all the time. I didn't feel like it was overbearing. I actually thought it was integrated into the film as opposed to dominating the film. Well, it depends what his objective is. If it's to get that popularity back, no, not really, because I don't think that many people care about Broadway. I'm sure lots of, you know, A-listers have actually done stuff on Broadway, and I've not heard about it.
I saw an A-lister on Broadway last night.
Who did you see?
Hugh Jackman.
Oh, there you go. Well, he loves the stage, doesn't he? He's all about singing and dancing and... Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I got a few photos of him up close, but not me with him. Photos of him signing my playbill.
Very good. Well, yeah, I hadn't heard that Hugh Jackman was doing that. So basically, if that's his objective, no, not really, because that only appeals to a smaller amount of people. But if it's to get that critical acclaim, I think there's something respected about performing on Broadway. People think that the acting skills required is, you know, it's more about the acting than the can you, you know, do people like your magazine appearances or your interviews on Channel E? So I think if it's to get a acclaim from his peers and, you know, that sort of thing, yes, I think that's the way to go.
It's sort of a high-risk play, though, isn't it? Because if he falls flat on his face, and by play, I mean move, not play, like, not theatre play, because if he falls flat on his face, he'll be embarrassed. He'll be like, oh, he was just like blockbuster movie star who's not a serious actor who can't take on something like this. So it's like, it's sort of, there's high stakes in this with his reputation. Because, yeah, if he's amazing, then he'll get respect from the upper crust, ivory tower elite in the industry. But if he's horrible, they'll think he's poser.
Yeah, and it's almost as if his legacy is at stake, because it would sort of justify the critics' opinion of him the whole time. So yeah, you never were a good actor, you just did that Hollywood trash. Look, you tried your hand at Broadway and look how you failed. Ha 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 ha.
Yes. So we like high stakes in a movie. I was invested in the stakes.
And that's really the main plot of the film. It's them preparing for it, them getting the actors for it, they do some previews, and then I guess it's all leading up to opening night. The review of opening night is what is at stake in the film. And a big part of that is Michael Keaton's performance and the people around him. So what did you think of Michael Keaton, Matt? Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, go ahead.
There's this voice that sort of follows him around. When he's alone, it seems more than he's with people. And I think it's sort of Birdman's voice. Because it's not Michael Keaton. It's not like, you know, JD from Scrubs. We just hear, like, JD talking when, like, he's on his own. It's like a Birdman. It's sort of like, you are better than this, or you're doing the wrong thing, or something like that. I don't know. Just Birdman.
It's Christian Bale. Is speaking to
from Batman is following him around, the boy for Christian Bale. And yeah, and then like there's a few sort of weird things that he does, like he makes things move does that when he's on his own, and I think it's sort of painted more as just a surreal sort of, like, mental sort of thing. But it keeps you guessing a little bit, particularly early on.
Mm.
I don't want to say what it is, like, where it lands, the film on that sort of stuff, but it's sort of not a big part of the film. Like, sort of something just crops up every now and then, and you're sort of questioning whether it's real or not. Is that fair?
Yeah. I was captivated by Michael Keaton. I thought he was engaging. I thought he was funny at times. I thought he made you sort of... You rooted for him in a sense. I felt like I did personally that I wanted the play to be a success. But at the same time, he was vulnerable and he had shortcomings. You know, he wasn't the best husband and father. And, you know, it sort of made you question certain things that he did, but was still wanting him to succeed. And he just had a great presence. You know, there were a couple of scenes where you were just kind of almost frozen in time because the scene just kind of hit you like that, and you're like, that was a powerful scene.
Yeah, now I don't know how many people you know that are into acting, Jonathan.
This is. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So, I played two characters in this play. It was Julius Caesar and Shakespeare. That's a Shakespeare play, for those playing along at home. And
also the person.
Yeah. The play was called Julius Caesar. It's a Shakespeare play. And I was a townsperson at the beginning, just sort of part of the crowd. We just shout out, eat things, have one or two lines. Then I leave, and after that sort of scene, spoiler alert for Julius Caesar, he's killed by Brutus, okay?
Mm.
And famous line, et tu, Brute. And then Octavian takes over, like, sort of fights Brutus sort of thing, and it's the big sort of battle and stuff. And I played Octavian. I was the big sort of hero of the play, in case he comes in and saves the day. And I had to do a wardrobe change from the townsperson to Octavian, which had like a robe on and a stick or something.
Yep.
Anyway, so I went out the side exit after the townsperson and then went after the side exit. I then had to go through a door and come in the back exit where my costume was waiting for me. Okay? That's pretty good. Well, my costume's waiting for me. And then go and then make a change very quickly and then come in through the back. I went out the side exit, and the door was locked to the back entrance of the play where my costume was and everything. And I was, like, tapping on it, trying to get in, and I just couldn't. So what I had to do was, after a minute or two, I thought, this is bad, because I only had about a 60-second turnover on this. So they were waiting for the outlet.
And no one knew you were locked out? You couldn't just knock and be like...
No. I was like, I knocked a bit. No one was in there, obviously. No one was in the room. So I ran back into the theatre from the side entrance. I ran on the stage. The guy's just waiting for me. And I said, I'll be back in a minute. And then ran behind the curtain, or the back curtain, where my costume was. Got in the clothes and then came back out and go, I'm ready now. but poor Ed, who was in my year, who I left hanging there on the stage for a bit. And then I remembered at the end, I could have just gone through the girls' bathroom. That had another entrance to where I was meant to be.
Yeah, but if you'd done that one more time, you were going to get suspended.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, Chris just left. I wonder where he's gone for the night. I thought we were going out tonight, so... hopefully it'll be entertaining.
You know, turn your back, your podcast for a minute, and Chris has got another Tinder date.
Yes. That's a that's the story. Okay, so he just put on a jacket and left, so that would shock me. Anyway, he's probably just grabbed a coffee waiting for us to finish up. So, let's talk about some of the other characters.
So, yeah, that's the story. Some of the other characters, as we mentioned, Ed Norton's probably the second build.
Yeah.
He plays, they recruit him for the play, and he's well respected on Broadway. He's kind of the ringer to get this play some attention and critical acclaim. And he takes himself very seriously. He's all about the acting. You know, the person that's like, when I'm on stage, I'm not acting, and it's just about finding truth and revealing truth, and I bare my soul, and what's more important than tapping into that, or else what's the point of being a human at all? It's very intense.
He's a fun character because he takes himself very seriously, but he doesn't really take anyone else very seriously. So you got the sort of fun dynamic where he's, like, expecting everyone to just respect him and stuff, and he'll just be as glib as he wants with anyone else.
I found him an entertaining character because, yeah, he will say things that you're not supposed to say that are just sort of socially unacceptable or whatever, but to him he's just being honest. You know, what's more important than, you know, finding truth? And yeah, he's very sort of silly and out of control off stage, but then on the stage, he does bring the performance. And that scene where him and Regan are going through their rehearsing, you know, the way he taps into the scene was great because it was sort of insightful as to how, you know, people go about this, but was also just entertaining in and of itself.
Yeah.
They had a great chemistry, I believe, the two of them, but sort of, you know, sort of opposed and yet working together. It was a good duo.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. Then you had Emma Stone, one of our favourites.
Mm.
She
has been taking drugs for a while. I guess she is. Was also a method actor.
We're talking about the character.
I suppose. The character. Don't want
to
start any rumors. She plays Regan's daughter, and she has had some drug problems, and now she's assisting him, and they're trying to repair that broken relationship at the same time as he's trying to repair his career, and she just doesn't really care about anything. She's sort of young and too cool, and she's sort of interested in Mike, Ed Norton's character, because he's just this sort of wild card. And to her, she's like, yeah, there's something real and exciting.
There's probably a bit of truth and dare together, Jonathan. Do you want to play some truth or dare now?
Sure.
Okay, Jonathan, truth or dare?
Dare.
You're at your house now?
Yes.
Okay, I dare you to, go to the bathroom and, do you have your squirty soap or
hand soap?
The bar of soap? Hand soap, yeah.
The squirty what? No.
Okay, well, get the bar of soap and lick it. Oh, wait, you don't have the bar. squirt a little bit on your hand, put your finger on it, and then you got to lick it. You got to lick the hand soap.
It's a little weird, yeah. Alright. Okay. Alright. Let's see how this tastes. Alright, the description of the flavour. Here we go. I'll give you the description. Honeysuckle hand soap, 98% natural. All right, that's good. I'll be consuming less chemicals. Made with botanical.
That's like a good flavor of soap. Of all the soaps you could have ended up tasting.
Yeah. Made with botanical extracts, honey and aloe. A heady, whichever one, floral, dosed with blah blah blah, made without petrochemicals, and is not tested on animals. Vegan, okay? So probably would have preferred steak. That's sort of my bag, but I don't think they really do hand soap in steak flavor. All right, so let's give this a go. All right, smells pretty sweet. Ugh. Oh my gosh, I didn't... Oh my! I didn't think it would be that bad. That was terrible.
How much did you put in your mouth?
Not even that much.
Oh my gosh!
All right, Matt. Truth or dare?
Truth.
Truth. Oh my goodness, it's not going away. Truth. All right. Ooh. All right, when... Oh, man, I need some water. This thing's truly gross.
Oh, that dance turned out really well.
All right, when you took a picture with Olivia Munn at the newsroom party, to what extent did you try to cop a feel? What did you opt for? What did you choose?
I opt for lower back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Definitely the sauciest of the three options. Feel free to play that at home, seeing as we didn't invent or copyright it.
Yes.
All right. Next character.
Zach Galifianakis.
Zach okay. I feel like we should have done Naomi Watts first. all right. I'll play along. Zach Galifianakis. Love Zach Galifianakis. He's usually in comedies, though. And... Yeah, I was going to say, this, you know, has comedy and drama, and he probably is in comedic scenes, but without necessarily being comedic. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, he's not being silly. It's not like he's trying to, you know, it's not necessarily that he's doing jokes. I'm doing my... air quotes again. It's more just the situations were funny and his attitude...
Are you rubbing your neck now, Jonathan?
no, the neck's fine. It was more just, you know, how he would deal with Regan or how something would annoy him or how he would celebrate something that, you know, finally went right or something, you know, that was entertaining and made you laugh, as opposed to him, you know, doing, say, the one-liners that he had in The Hangover.
Yeah, he's definitely sort of a character that you do smile a lot at when he's on screen. He does deliver some great, funny lines, but, yeah, it's not like he's doing the big comedy act. In some ways, your Edward Norton has the more slapstick comedy bits in the play or the show, or the movie.
Go back and count how many times Matt said in the, if you feel like it.
So, yeah, he's good. I like Zach in it. Naomi Watts, she's pretty good too.
Yeah, Naomi Watts plays, I guess, someone that's, you know, I think, is this her first big role on Broadway, and she's kind of, vulnerable. She's sort of, you know, self-esteem is kind of like, I've made it, but have I made it? What do people think of me? I think she didn't really end up being that important to the overall story, but I did like the individual scenes that she was in.
She had some really powerful scenes, and yeah, this is really an interesting play. Probably not the best play for a self-esteem to get cast for a first time. yeah, are we ready to give it a verdict?
All right, Birdman. what did I think? So Birdman, I was hooked within minutes, you know, not the first 5 minutes because I wasn't there for them, but, you know, the next 5 minutes, they were great, and I was hooked.
You were still on edge those 5 minutes before we got to the cinema, though.
very much was pulled into the story, loved the characters, I liked the themes, I felt like it was discussing interesting things and things that were important, but without being too pretentious, you know, just pretentious enough to make you feel like you're intelligent watching the film, but not to feel like you're being talked down to. Really funny at times, great performances. Some of the camera shots were amazing. Because, you know, they're just on stage or backstage for 90% of the time, and you'd think that might get stale, but some of the angles and the way they move the camera, you know, sort of through windows and through bars and things, like, how'd they even do that? So I thought they were very creative, loved that. Wasn't quite as surreal as I thought it would be. You know, I think this is mainstream enough. Don't be scared or weirded out by it. I think, you know, it's pretty accessible. I think most people will be able to enjoy it. The ending, I'm not going to say the ending was bad, but the ending didn't, you know, it wasn't like it all came together and just clicked and they were like, they nailed it. You know, everything was executed so well except that final bit, but it didn't take away a lot from the film. I still really enjoyed it. One of my favorite films of the year. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
That's good. Okay. I'm sort of in two minds about this film. I'll start with one. And it's that the film seems very pretentious. And it feels like it's one of these films that I think feels like it's got a bit more to say than it actually has to say. yeah. So there's that. But on the other hand, I love this film's energy. Like, doesn't it have a great energy? Like, just these, like, long tracking shots through the theatre with people talking. In some ways, it reminded me quite a bit of The West Wing. So, like, you're in this working environment, people are walking and talking. It's definitely got a different rhythm. It's definitely got a different rhythm to it, the dialogue. You know, it's definitely, I wasn't ever thinking I'm watching Sorkin. But just that sort of feel, the walk and talk and stuff, I really enjoyed that. And the drum music was really good, too.
Yeah.
I went really well, but it just, like, kept on counting. And it was just a really enjoyable film to watch and a really interesting film to watch. And just the characters were also good. Like, Zach Galifianakis, Naomi Watts, Emma Stone, Michael Caine, Edward Norton. They all worked really well off each other. They all had, like, their own sort of fun, interesting, compelling things. So just a great cast. Really interesting to watch. Great energy to it. A good soundtrack. It just sort of all came together really well. And it reminded me a bit of another film I really like, The Black Swan. Where it's about sort of someone trying to find themselves through performance and through art, and it sort of is all leading up to the opening night of the show and whether she or he will pull it off or not, and it sort of like, you know, builds up to that sort of end of the opening night sort of thing. And I didn't like it in a way that it was ripping off The Black Swan, though. I saw some parallels there.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Whoa. So there you go. Pretty big props from the Screen Verdict team. We might be talking about it later on in the year.
Yeah, I think with the Screen Verdict Awards, with a 9 from you and an 8.5 from me, it's going to be hard to not see that nominated.
Oh, it's
best film. Yeah, I think
I don't know who's going to win, but that's
no, yeah, yeah.
got a good chance to be nominated. It'll be in the running.
But it would be a very good year for cinema if a 9 and 8.5 wasn't enough to get it into that top 5 or top 6 or however many we have in our nominees.
Okay, so housekeeping. So I thought it might be interesting to talk in housekeeping about being a house guest. Matt, for the first week that he was in LA, actually stayed in Bonnie and my apartment. We were kind enough to put him up on the couch. So what I thought we could do is I could give Matt a Screen Verdict rating as a house guest, and Matt could give me a Screen Verdict rating as a house host.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Matt, I'll start off with the pros.
Okay, good.
Not a lot of effort was required. I just sort of said, here's the couch and here's a blanket. That was good. I like not having really... I wasn't put out too much. Pretty clean, you know. Matt sort of kept his clothes in the corner. Didn't really make too much mess in the kitchen or anything or in the bathroom. So that's another plus. Quiet. Matt had a couple of rowdy nights. Came home pretty late, well after I went to bed, because I had work in the morning. Didn't wake me up. That's a big plus. Very pleased that I wasn't woken up.
That's what I was worried about.
don't know if this is... Well, this isn't... This. I'm going to say it's a con, but it's not a heavy con.
Throw it in the mix.
The bathroom did end up smelling quite heavily of... I don't even... Like, aftershave? Perfume? Okay. What do you even call men's perfume? Cologne? That's the one.
Cologne.
All right. Yeah, Matt, how much cologne and aftershave were you putting on?
Oh, I don't know, a little bit, not heavy, but a generous amount.
All right, I'd take that amount and then halve it.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. That's good advice. But the bathroom smells, Bonnie says she likes it.
I'll have to get some. Oh, I could just walk into the bathroom and come out smelling of it. So, I guess I can save the money. Okay. Here's the last one, and it's a sort of a pro and a con.
Interesting.
I believe one time, without telling us, and so I think that that's props for not trying to get the props for it. I believe Matt may have done some of our dishes. Is that true, Matt? Can you confirm?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Good job.
I was a bit in 2 minds about doing that.
Did you think it would be the equivalent of mowing my lawn, cutting my grass?
No. I just was worried that it might, I thought... Maybe it'll be seen as sort of we don't want Matt doing stuff for us while he's here because we want him to feel like he's a guest. He doesn't have to do stuff. But I thought, at the end of the day, it's probably better that I wash them rather because I had some time and stuff. I just thought I'd do that rather than think, doing this like is probably like, now they might not like it. I shouldn't wash dishes. Anyway, give me your thoughts.
Well, I'm all for it. Any dish that I don't have to wash is a plus for me. The con to this being, Bonnie went to get out a coffee mug, and she says, "Jonathan, you didn't clean this coffee mug properly." And I was like,
"The quality control.
I've been sabotaged. I didn't even clean any of these coffee mugs, and I'm getting blamed for the dirty coffee mug."
Coffee mugs can do the best job. I can't specifically remember it, but...
So, well, there you go. I think probably more pros than cons. I'm going to give Matt an 8 out of 10 as a house guest.
Well, I could get the arts back. I could get the next time I'm near Santa Monica. That's a good score. So, not quite as good as Birdman, but it's up there. Okay. The house, I feel hard giving the pros and cons because I feel like it's very rude as a guest. I feel like I should lose a point. Like, for each con I get as a house guest. So when people open their home to you, and as very generous as you were, that it's very bad form to complain about anything. But I'll go through the pros at least, and then we'll see how I'm feeling. Pro. Okay. I was really well looked after. The couch that I had to sleep on was so comfortable. It was like one of the most comfortable couches like I've ever been on. It was a very good couch. Very large too, plenty of room. Another pro, I was very well looked after. We went out to the comedy that night. We went to the Groundlings. You, of course, Jonathan, were great. But Bonnie, who I don't know as well, was really nice and helpful and had suggestions and was, you know, happy, like, you know, she's always, you know, happy with, like, having, like, you know, around, like, and have, you know, like, when we went to the movies with her friend Bella and Groundlings and stuff, and she was sort of cool with that, and, like oh, you know, we want to talk Bella tonight, not you, so, like, really, I felt like I was really, like, encouraged and looked after and, like, really made the feel at home that Southern hospitality has really come through with Bonnie that people rave about. I think just everything was so cool. Like, you know, had good suggestions. Yeah, like, we went out like quite a bit, which was nice. Took me some cool places. We had somebody go on Halloween. So I just felt really at home, and it was really nice being there. Santa Monica, a bit of a trek into Hollywood, especially if you're public transporting. Like, maybe location, not really your fault. Like,
it's a pretty horrible location, like 3 blocks from the beach.
Okay, yeah, it was a really nice location to go to the beach, working on my body tan. So, yeah, so I guess that's also a pro location. I guess you didn't have a third set of keys. But that didn't really pose any issues, because I was out all the days anyway. So I'm going to give you guys a 9 out of 10.
Wow. It's a Birdman, if you're me, which you're not. From your point of view, even better than Birdman.
Even better than Birdman. Oh, that's good. That was fun to do. And we didn't just hang out at Jonathan's couch and stuff while I was in LA and see Birdman. We got up to a whole lot of fun activities, didn't we? We got up to some challenges.
Oh, yeah. And lucky for you, we recorded them, so be sure to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast, and our YouTube. We haven't really been promoting the YouTube, but maybe we will now. Believe it. What is it? What even is it? YouTube.com/screenverdict?
Probably. Just YouTube search Screen Verdict. Like, it'll come up.
It'll come up. All right, it is youtube.com/screenverdict. So there we go. We're putting up some challenges. We go head to head at some arcade games at Santa Monica Pier. We might visit the infamous In-N-Out, and there could be some more still to come.
Eating challenges.
Oh, we love to eat. Half of the holiday so far has been eating. Very good stuff.
And then we're working on our final challenge now.
Yeah, we're going to do a cross-coastal Screen Verdict USA challenge. So a lot to look forward to.
A New York LA showdown.
Oh,
like you have never seen before.
I mean,
we don't even know what it is yet.
The most exciting TBD challenge of all time.
Yeah. So how exciting.
Very good.
So well, we might wrap up the podcast here, and then we can sort out what that challenge is going to be.
Thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast as much as we enjoyed Birdman, if not even more. And we will catch you next week.